everybody. Welcome to the Women's Dating and Confidence Podcast. My name is Amber, and today I have a very special episode for you. One of my clients who just completed the From Dating to Exclusive program is coming on today, and she was super excited to talk to you all, and she is sharing some of the things that were most helpful to her, some of the lessons that she learned, and her transformation of going from dating to exclusive during the program. And I really love bringing people on because, like I've said before, the transformation is usually a little bit more messy than like, okay, you go on some dates, you meet some people, you meet a nice guy, and now you're exclusive. It's usually a little bit more of a non-linear process. And so she shares a little bit about how she was able to identify the 40% guy, how it was difficult to let go of that guy, and how that actually helped open her up to get back into the flow of dating and then meet the person that she's currently with. So I'm really excited for her to share more about that in her own words. And then before we get into that, I want to share with you my free guide called Copy and Paste Texts for When He's Pulling Away or Acting Flaky. And the link for that is in the show notes. And this is a free guide, but all of my clients still use it. Like, I just had a session today and she was like, yeah, I had the situation, so I sent him text number 6. And it's a really useful communication guide for those early stages of dating. So you can find the link for that in the show notes. And then we are also getting started with the next group, From Dating to Exclusive, starting next week, Tuesday. So there's still a little bit of time, a few more days to apply if you're wanting to join and create your own transformation over the next 4 months. All right, let's get into the episode. Welcome to the Women's Dating and Confidence Podcast. I'm so excited to have you here and to talk about your dating experience over the last 4 months that I've known you through the program. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. This is a dream come true.
Yeah. So I would love to start with where you started 4 months ago when we initially met. So you scheduled a consult. You must have been listening to the podcast beforehand. What led you to scheduling that consult?
Yes. So I was one of your original listeners about a year and a half, maybe even 2 years ago. And I really love knowledge. I love taking courses. I've taken some life courses. I've done a ton of therapy. And I just felt like this realm I haven't, you know, dealt with before. So when I heard that you were doing courses and group courses, which I really love, because being in a space where someone else is experiencing that or a group of women are going through that, it's just so powerful. So I heard you were doing courses and I joined immediately. I think we had our call and I was like, sign me up. I'm ready.
Yeah. And what was dating like for you at that time?
Oh, I was in interesting, I guess, was it official, but partnership, situationship,
yes,
with someone. And I was having a lot of anxiety with it. And in my previous relationships, I was having dating anxiety, especially in the beginning, like where we were trying to form something or decide if we were in a relationship or they were going to call me or if I was going to call them. So in those beginning stages, I got a lot of anxiety.
Yeah. And so one thing that came up initially when we started talking was the situationship that you were in. So you were dating somebody and it sounds like there was a lot there, but there was also some key, there were some key things missing in that connection as well. And so one thing that a lot of people may be surprised by is that just the process of going from dating to exclusive, even if it's within the 4 months of the program, can be pretty messy, meaning that there can be ups and downs. You might be coming in dating someone and then discover they're not the right person and then meet somebody else. So what was that connection like and how did you notice that that might not be the right connection for you?
Yeah, so it was during COVID. So I call him my COVID boo sometimes because I think we were all lonely. And I met him a year ago during normal times. And I think I knew in my gut that it wasn't going to work, but he was cute and we were going out. And then during COVID, I decided to message him and we got drinks and started from there. And I think we both kind of knew that we were just in this because we really didn't have the normalcy to go out and date and to meet other people. And yeah, having that as a foundation was just not great. And then it kind of kicked off the relationship to situationship to not be great either. So I think I was really trying to force something that wasn't there. And after speaking with you and deciding, yes, I do want to be in a relationship and deciding the things that I'm looking for, I think we were able to maneuver, okay, this isn't the relationship for me. Let's get out of it, which I don't think I would have gotten out of it because of COVID and comfort and also comfort in being in the discomfort. Like, it's just easier to be uncomfortable and just like go with it. So thank you for getting me out of that.
You're welcome. And so we classify, like, a term that I use is the 40% guy. So this connection where there is a lot that's there, like maybe the attraction or you have a great friendship or something is there, but there's also a significant portion that's missing. What were some of the signs for you that you're dating a 40% guy?
The flakiness, which drove me crazy, like flakiness where he gave me enough to keep me in, but then he wouldn't show up. And you use the best analogy, which I actually used when I ended things with him, which was, I feel like I'm doing a trust fall and you're going to catch me 40% of the time. And the other 60%, you're not going to catch me. And I can never feel like I trust you enough. And I really need someone who can catch me when I'm going to fall. And he just stayed quiet. It was like such a good, this is how I'm feeling. This is the analogy. It was so set and clear. And he really got it once I said that.
Yeah. And so even though you had this understanding of the 40% guy logically, and you knew that it wasn't the right connection and things weren't feeling good in that connection, it was still difficult to let go of, right? So what was that process for you of like staying strong to make that decision repeatedly, like especially when the person comes back or is still trying? How did you find the strength to repeatedly let go and say, no, I want to believe in something bigger?
Well, you kind of gave me the format of like how we're going to do it. And you gave me some good notes and, you know, just breaking up with him, it was like having the intention of like why I'm here, what we're actually discussing. Like, you made me do it in person or at least over the phone. Like, I just wanted to send a quick text and say goodbye. So doing the right thing for myself felt really good. And having that at the forefront, that no matter what he says, or even if I do want to get back, like knowing that I'm doing this for myself and it is the right thing to do, that really helped a lot. And then, yeah, he was lingering back. And I think what really was like a punch in the face, like get it through your head, it's not going to work out, is we were trying to make a schedule, like a date to hang out, to have a makeup conversation. And he bailed on the makeup conversation. And I remember putting it in the group chat and all the girls were like, yep, see, like it's time. And then I was like, girls, I think I just need to block him or like remove his number from my phone. And one of the girls was like, yep, I did it. It was the best thing that's happened to me. So really glad I did that. And also seeing that flakiness or 40% guys are not all out there, you know, like, yes, some and most of them are, and you have to really weed them out. So now that I really know what the 40% guy is and I can term it, I can really see it when I'm dating much quicker, which is a great tool to have.
Yeah. So that's a telltale sign of the 40% guy, is that trust fall and you're catching me only 40% of the guy, which is pretty painful to be falling 60% of the time.
Yeah.
Plus exactly what you described with that flakiness, but enough to keep you going.
For sure. Right?
So that's like it's always like that. It's not like they're never showing up. It's that they're showing up some of the time. So you always have this hope, and then you keep going based on that hope. So that's really common.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about dating after the fact, right? So then how did it feel to get back into dating? The standard we have in the coaching program is one date per week, at least, even if you can't, like we worked you up to that. So what was it like to kind of get into the flow of dating again?
Yeah. So for all the ladies or men or anyone who's listening, Amber will challenge you. So don't think you're coming into the course and it's going to be easy peasy. So after this, you gave us the challenge, which was we had to match with people and go on the one date per week. You didn't care how, we just had to do it. Video chats, in person, if you lived in a city that allowed that. And that for me got me back on the horse, even if I was ready or not. And it just got me back on the horse to kind of practice meeting a stranger, which is kind of what dating is, and got me really comfortable in having dates. I think I had in probably like a month or two, maybe 2 months, I had like 7-8 video chats, a one in-person date. And then when I finally met the guy that I'm dating now, as I mentioned before, it really helped prep me to just go in and have a date with him and not overthink it, because I had so much practice. So I'm so glad that I did that. And yeah, it was tough. It was not easy. Dating during the pandemic is really tough and really hard. But something I really loved is I got to have video chats with people, and it brought it back to the high school days where you're talking on the phone as kids and
really,
yeah. And just having that authentic connection where, you know, circa a year or two ago, you would just meet people in person and then you'd feel kind of stuck on the date, or there's really no connection, and like having to walk out of the coffee shop or the bars, much harder than, hey, my food's coming, or I'm cooking dinner, gotta go, see you later. So yeah, once we got a little strategic with the dates, I actually was having a lot of fun with them and mm-hmm. thankful that you gave us this crazy challenge during the hard times.
Yeah. And even though you're like a very outgoing person, there were still some lessons for you in those dates. For example, like not showing up 90% if the other person isn't like fully engaged as well, or ending the dates early. So what were some of those lessons for you?
Yeah, I am such a chatty, outgoing person that these dates were like an hour, 2 hours. And then at the end of them, one, I felt tired and I just felt like, oh my God, that was a lot. And two, I didn't even like the person after. So I spent all this energy on it. So we got a little strategic in like waiting enough 15, 20 minutes to know if you really like the person, like see the connection, and then hang up or schedule something else. And something else that I also did is I ordered food to my house when I had the date, I ordered food, so it hit send and it would arrive right when like we were mid in the date, where I would know if I liked them or not. So it was like perfect timing. And I blamed, you know, Postmates and Uber instead of myself.
Yeah. And so one lesson that came up for you as well as you started dating again, and that's always the case with everybody that I work with, is slow is sexy. So teach us a little bit about slow is sexy.
Yeah. This is a really hard one for me because I'm a very fast, passionate, spicy girl. You know, I told you, I'm like, I'm half Latina, I'm Italian, I'm a Leo. Like, I'm a very feminist, like outspoken woman. So taking things slow was so hard for me. And even sexually, like I, you know, first started dating in my 20s in Europe, and, you know, people would sleep together there and it wasn't a big deal and you could still form relationships. But I think here in the States, it's a little different. So learning that you don't have to sleep with the guy right away or establish boundaries with someone. And you threw this curveball at all of us. And I remember we were like, no, you're like, I think you should be exclusive before you have sex. And we thought it was the craziest thing. And the guy that I'm dating now, it's like we established exclusivity right away and I wasn't even thinking about sex. So it was so funny how the tables really turned. and just going on date per date, like not answering right away or not over texting someone. And I remember I had kind of a text issue. I was like, I don't want to be in a text relationship. Like, I don't want that to be like people just get in these text bubbles and you're like, you don't have to. Like, you don't have to respond. Like, you can say, hey, I'm going to give you a call. Let's have a phone date or schedule something. And that for me set the tone of what I, you know, want the relationship to be. And he loved it. Like, he thought it was like, oh my God. He's like, I don't even like to talk on the phone. And I thought, what would Amber say? Well, he hasn't talked to me yet. So, so yeah, having those tools really, really helped.
Yeah. So what were your initial thoughts with probably my most controversial dating advice as a feminist? What do you think about waiting till exclusivity?
It's the best thing I've probably ever done in dating. And girls, I'm very, you know, if you need to get it in, I think you said it like that. You're like, if you need to go hook up or do what you got to do, do it, but don't expect you're going to be in a relationship right after and it's going to be perfect. Like, it's going to be a little rocky. Mm-hmm. But if you set that boundary from the beginning, if something does happen during or after sex, you guys already have a good foundation. Mm-hmm. So really bringing us back full circle. And I used it and it was amazing. And I'm so much more happier and full, which you talk a lot on your podcast. Like, you need to be full and full in the relationship. And yeah, I'm really happy I did it that way rather than jumping in on the first, second date and sleeping mm-hmm. together and then trying to figure out what we are. It's just complicated that way.
Yeah. So that's definitely one of the things, is that it just helps things be less complicated because hormones get involved and passion gets involved from the very first date.
Totally.
So it just kind of helps us have more of a buildup with mm-hmm. people. And then, yeah, it helps us create that container around the connection for the things that sex might bring up emotionally. And then another thing is, when we have sex from the very beginning, like very early on, that mm-hmm. often leads to other behaviors that are not related to sex, but still are maybe not in alignment with the plant and like how fast it's growing. So, for example, like, you have sex on the first or second date, and then it just kind of evolves into a situationship where you're having sleepovers, you're spending a lot of time together, and you
start girlfriend privileges.
Exactly. So it turns into a relationship without being a relationship.
Yeah.
And it just kind of makes things simpler to wait till you're exclusive. And as you said, you don't have to wait like 5 months.
No.
To be exclusive, because, and actually, let's talk a little bit about that. What is exclusivity? Pop quiz.
Oh, this is tough. Deciding that you only want to date each other, and no matter what level it's at, but deciding that you're going to just be in a relationship with each other and figure out really what that means. For me specifically, that came really quick. Like, I saw that this person that I'm dating now is amazing and I really didn't want to be on the apps. And he was trying to be exclusive before I even was thinking it. And he was like, no, we have to wait for sex. Like, let's discuss what we are before I was even thinking it, which is like, women don't think that men want that, but ladies, they do. Mm-hmm. And yeah, once we said, yeah, I want to just date you, he said, okay, delete your apps. You know, like, mm-hmm. I don't think you need to get on those anymore. I said, I agree. I don't need to be on the apps anymore. And then we did talk lightly, like, are we boyfriend and girlfriend? And I said, let's hit this round first. And then the next time we need to talk, like, boyfriend and girlfriend, like, if it comes up, let's discuss it. And he's like, great. I'm on the same page. So, it was like a perfect organic transition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So exclusivity is simply, let's just date each other as we get to explore this more, right? Yep. So a lot of people think, okay, I need to go somehow from dating to boyfriend, girlfriend, which feels like this huge jump. And then the exclusivity is just like a little step in between to help make that transition easier. And yeah, like you said, also, it kind of helps you build more of a foundation with that person, because really on the first, second, or even third date, we don't know that person at all. Like, we don't know how they show up for us over time. We don't know how caring they are about our emotions. We don't know how like loyal or trustworthy they are. So just getting to know the person a little bit more before you take that step really helps you make a decision that's based on like the person and integrate with that person.
Yeah, for sure.
And I just have to share the quote that you...
Let's do it.
passion is my North Star. It's in my DNA. And I was like, you know, slow is sexy, but we should all adopt that belief as well.
Yeah. And giving me the confidence to really say, it's okay to be a female and be passionate and be sexy, because in today's society, you don't always get the... well, she's passionate, people, you know, term it as a negative thing, but you really instilled it in us like, no, that's a great thing. We're not losing that, but let's find a way to make it shine in other places, like turn up the knob in other places. So that's not the only thing. Mm-hmm. So that was really important as well.
Yeah. And so part of your passion too was some strong emotions that would come up in dating. For example, anxiety or sometimes frustration or anger with people. So what did you do when you did feel triggered, both internally and then externally in relation to the other people that you were dating?
Yeah, well, anytime I felt it internally, I tried not to act on it externally, because it's one thing to actually feel it, but I would do things to connect them a lot. Like, oh, I'm feeling like anxious. Okay, I got to text him, or I have to break up with him, or I have to plan something. Like, I had so much action oriented, just feelings when I was emotional. So really like removing that, and then really setting up the mind frame of like, okay, how am I feeling now and how do I want to feel, which is a tool you sometimes use in our training course. So yeah, just writing things out. I think for me, seeing it on paper that, okay, I'm feeling really anxious, but why, you know, why am I like, what is the circumstance or what are your feelings and what are the results? And a lot of times when I did that, I felt very negative. And then you would say, okay, how do you want to feel? And I'd felt, okay, write it out. And then it would end in like a positive result and make me more result, positive result oriented rather than triggered or upset, and finding ways to speak up when it was important to me. Because I think a lot of the times you call them spiky feelings are actually a feeling of something else, like sadness or hurt or pain. And I would just feel the spiky emotion. So really trying to feel, okay, what am I feeling today? Like naming those emotions was really helpful for me, because then I could maneuver through them a little bit easier, because they're so quick when they would come up. I would kind of be in shock mode and wouldn't know what to do. And then I would do something, but it would be negative. So, really learning to term those emotions and find positive ways to get them out was really important.
Yeah. So with the whole subject of spiky emotions, what I mean by that is sometimes in dating, we feel really vulnerable and we have vulnerable emotions like sadness or fear or like, yeah, just those kind of heavier emotions. And then because that feels very vulnerable, another layer of emotion comes over it, which is like anger. So rather than telling him, for example, like, hey, I feel really disappointed, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. We say like, fuck you.
So torch is out and everything.
So, and I actually remember in one of our first like few group calls that you're like, I'm so angry. And you're like really, really angry and having those spiky emotions. And I asked you, if you weren't feeling angry, what else would you be feeling? And you just started crying.
Right? Yeah. Oh my God. I'm sad. I didn't even realize it.
Yeah. And then from that place of vulnerability, communication becomes a lot easier because the person is actually relating to the real thing that's going on beneath the surface instead of the spiky emotions. And what I mean by spiky is like, we're protecting ourselves. We're like, spiky, don't come in. So when we take that away, then they can relate to the actual things that are going on beneath the surface.
So important. And I think being vulnerable in front of the people that you're dating, like I always felt like I couldn't have any good, bad emotions around this guy. Like I had to be like the perfect girl or, you know, put on a show, which you also talk about a lot. Like you don't have to be like presenting at a show, you just go and be yourself. So that was really helpful to be vulnerable and let those emotions come up. And if you need to share them with your partner. It's important.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about your boyfriend.
He just became my boyfriend this week. It's such a night and day from when I was dating the other guy and started the course. And it was funny because we had our last check-in and you're like, wait, so you went from dating to exclusive? I was like, yeah, oh, whoops. Yeah, we went to dating to exclusive. And I think one of the biggest factors, which you also talked about in one of my recent posts, was that I really needed someone emotionally mature. And finding that. And what does that look like? You know, at work, do you know of someone who's emotionally mature? Did you meet someone, you know, in the lobby who's emotionally mature? And really finding that in my next partner. And yeah, the person that I'm with now is very emotionally mature. And we even had a hiccup recently, a little bump in the road. And I actually got anxiety because it reminded me, oh my God, a bump in the road with the last guy I was dating. It's not going to work. He couldn't handle it. Mm-hmm. And then we got through it and he like responded so well. And all the girls were like, yeah, oh my God, he's so cute. Amazing. I was like, oh my God, he's getting cheered on even, even when he made a mistake. And we actually met after and I was like, hey, I really like how you handled that. And he's like, I really liked how you call me on my shit. And I was like, oh my God. He's like, and then he's like, that's why I want to be with someone like you, because we can hold each other accountable. And it was just so shocking to me that this is a guy and that's what he wants, because women think that, oh, men don't want that. They just, you don't, can't bug them. You can't tell them anything. You can't speak your real feelings. But with him, he's changing the game out there. So I'm really, really excited to see where things go. And yeah, I want to encourage all the ladies that it can happen. And, you know, you just got to put in the work. And I felt like I put in a lot of work and things were coming to fruition. So it feels really good. And I just feel like I'm in a really good place right now.
Yeah. And you totally did. Like even before the program started, I got messages from you in my inbox, because I get a message every time somebody comments on a lesson like, this is so good, taking this here, like so you definitely were showing up 100% the entire time. And you really absorbed and like were open to feedback and coaching. And then you also said that he made like a list of 20 dates, right?
Oh my God, this is like, you are the guy for me. So one of my biggest issues with my past guy is that he was really flaky, and just getting like one date a week on the books was so hard. And, you know, it was always him planning it and I could never plan like fun, cool dates. It was like what he wanted. And I'm a very adventurous, sporty, outgoing girl. And so I need that stimulation to go out and have fun and really connect with someone. And then this new guy that I'm with, he was so cute. We kept talking about all these dates that we should go. And he's like, I'm going to make a list. So he made a list and we shared it with each other through notes on iPhone. And it's so cute because the more dates that we have, the list gets longer and longer and we can see when people edit it. So I would never in a million years think that a guy would be making a list and so excited to go out with me and like plan all this stuff. And women, a lot of the times, think they have to plan everything. But again, he's just changing the game. I'm like, whoa, like a guy who makes a list, like this is so unheard of. So yeah, it's really exciting. And we're slowly checking off the list. So
yeah, that is so awesome. And do you have any good date ideas for the rest of us?
We're going camping soon, because it's the pandemic, so.
Yeah, I was curious, I'm like, are you all pandemic dates? Because that might be an awesome list.
Yeah, right, I should share it. We're also going bike riding now in LA. The breweries are opening up. So like in downtown LA, I was like, we need a bike from my house to downtown LA and hit up some of the breweries, go to the arts district. But we also have simple ones there. Like he's Mexican and I'm Mexican. So we're like taco night, like a real authentic taco night in the house. And just like movie nights, but like he has a little projector. He's like, no, I'm getting the projector and we're making this like a night. And so even if it's simple, I think it's the thought and just make like the gesture that really counts, because in the end, that's really all you want is to spend time with someone. You don't really care what you're doing.
Yeah. And so if you had to reflect back on yourself only 4 months ago, what would you really want to tell that version of yourself?
You got this, girl. That even in the storm, because when I have anxiety, I feel like, oh, I'm in a storm. Mm-hmm. Like, you're always going to find the light and you're always going to get through it. And you have an amazing coach and group of people who have your back 100%. And knowing that I had like a village and a crew and just people who felt the same as me or going through it together was life-changing. And I'm so grateful and thankful for you and everyone in the course and all of the listeners. Like, we're really changing the landscape of dating and how women can date. And I think this information is really powerful.
Yes. Thank you so much for coming on today. I loved every bit of what you shared. And I'm so excited to hear more.
I know. I can't wait.